Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
So, have you ever heard from a third party that a psychic talked about you? Well, Bill and I had this experience. This last training, one of our amazing practitioners, and I mean amazing, started to tell a story about having gone to a psychic months and months ago. It has to have been a year and a half or more now. And the person told her that she would be meeting two people, a man and a woman, who were doing work, sounded very strangely similar to ours, who would also eventually be having an institute. Now, at first, Caitlin was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want any more practitionerships. No, thank you. Not interested. And then pretty soon, she found us. So it was a really fun coincidence, and we thought it would be amazing to have the person who told her this information on the show. Also, you know, we're getting close to Halloween. Bill and I have been telling ghost stories and all things paranormal. So this is a great way to end the month of October, and also to get some really great information about what it is to see someone who can give you information. So today, we are welcoming Bonnie Miklis. She is a gifted psychic, as you might have guessed, a channel, a healer, a medium, a certified hypnotherapist, and internationally recognized author. She's a scholar of the Akashic Records and uses the knowledge to help others overcome their perceived limitations and guide them beyond the boundaries of their own thinking. So welcome, Miss Bonnie Miklis.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you, Liz and Bill. This is a really great little trio we've got today. It's awesome.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun conversation. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this kind of work?
Yeah, my gosh, it feels like lifetimes ago. I came into this work kind of in a very interesting way, actually. You know, I had all of these incredible experiences and fantastic imagination, you know, when I was a kid, and would have these interactions with the other side, spirit or lights or different kind of energies. I used to call them my angels when I was little, and it was great. It was like a Disneyland upbringing of Bonnie's own world. It was lovely. And as I became a little bit older, you know, getting into preteens, that's when my family and parents were a little concerned, right? Because, you know, most of us don't carry our imagination or our imaginary friends into being 12 or 13 when we should be into, you know, teenage stuff and, you know, peers, living children. And I just it wasn't flowing that way. And so they brought me to a series of therapists and doctors to see, you know, what was going on with me. Many, many different opinions. But ultimately, after, you know, walking this road of therapy a couple of years, I was officially given the title of schizophrenic and put on some medication for schizophrenia. And that, as you can imagine, was pretty complicated, especially being on medication when I wasn't used to it. Ending up and resulting into an institutionalization for schizophrenia for a short while. And so that was obviously a pretty dark night of the soul for a little while. And I lived that way until I got a little older, about 19, 20 years old, and I found my own therapist just to take one more crack at, you know, what is wrong with me and can I be helped? Can I find some peace and this life, fully assuming that I was schizophrenic, and they convinced me of that I was capable of some pretty intense hallucinations. And I went to this woman, And I've just cried my eyes out for three sessions. You know, I don't know how to work with this. Do I belong here? And it was after the third session, she was very quiet and patient. She said, you know, Bonnie, you're not schizophrenic. You're not broken. I actually think you're psychic. And so I was just like, what does that mean? Is that a new diagnosis? But so, you know, it's a kind of an odd situation to go from feeling just, you know, broken to no, this is the talent. So I tell people I kind of was diagnosed psychic. It's very, very interesting way to go into this. And so as that unfolded, just kind of spending everything, all my time and energy from that point out, you know, trying to learn, what does that even mean? And, you know, is it possible? Is it me? I felt kind of like an imposter, you know, like that's not me. That's, you know, the incredible people on TV. That's Sylvia Brown. That's not me. And so, yeah, so for the last two decades, researching this, using this, becoming a practitioner of this to see how it can be so healing and, you know, kind of on the heels of your experience with Courtney, you know, it can really be powerful in leading people into their divine potential at the end of the day. So really fascinating way to come into this kind of sidewise. Side scraper. Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, I want to toot your horn for a second here. Oh. Now there was, you know, Liz had introduced you and there's even more specifics that were in your information. You told her, oh, it's about the body and you're going to be working with people's bodies and also children that are on the, you know, basically have certain disabilities and you work. Yeah. And she was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to touch anybody's body. And you were like, no, it's not that you're going to touch their body. You're going to work with their body. It is more about the nervous system and the brain. And you'll learn about that from this man and woman who created a modality. And so it was amazing the detail, because that's what we do. We work with people's brains, nervous system. We work with children. She was actually there in the room working when we had her out in our training, a child that had drowned in the bathtub and basically had global brain damage. And there she was working with us, with this child who's was completely no function, can't talk, can't control her limbs, all kinds of things. And we were working with the brain and the nervous system. And there she was. So it was kind of incredible. The other part of this story is so fascinating how you were absolutely dead on. And that was that she had looked for 6 months after talking to you, and you told her that you're going to do this. And she looked for 6 months, she's just a man and a woman modality and, you know, brain and nervous system. And she goes, 6 months, just, forget it. It doesn't exist. It must've been a bad reading. And then as soon as she gave up, a little while later, she somehow, some way, we showed up and she saw the both of us. Oh, there you are. Oh my God. And it was so very, very specific, right down to who she'd be working with. So anyway, you already know it. You're not schizophrenic. You are psychic. And, but unfortunately, you know, a lot of people end up like you, you know, like, but they never find their way out. It's the horrible thing. You know, they get on the drugs and nobody really understood them. And you had this wonderful person to step into your life and help you. That was so awesome.
So lucky, so grateful. I think we have a series of choice points. You know, I think that we all have these crossroads, just like, you know, this beautiful story. You know, with this client of mine deciding to, I mean, she's the real hero. She sought for 6 months trying to find something that could have not been accurate. You know, it's this level of faith and recognizing when there's a divine intervention, when there are people who can lead you to the light. I believe we all have those kind of those crossroads or those choice points. It's just, you know, at what point in our life are we going to trust our life or choose to trust again if we've been shut down by others in really traumatic ways. So, I mean, I feel so lucky, but I don't think there's anything special about me. I just feel like people are constantly greeting us on our path to help show us, you know, the next mile marker of our own destiny, for sure. Yeah.
Now your family, you feel vindicated within your family?
My family, I, you know, my family, my mother was such a rock star in her own right. You know, she struggled a lot, with addiction, but she was always trying. She was such a right fighter. You know, she was always trying to think out of the box as the kind of human, that she is. And I got to hand it to her. I mean, when I was young, she would make these like makeshift Cabbage Patch dolls to like embody these people I was talking to, like, you know, like talk to the doll, you know. I mean, she really did try, you know. She brought me to these doctors because, like, you know, most parents with these, you know, these kids that are neurodivergent, or, you know, we don't have a map for consciousness exactly. I mean, I think we're making inroads, right? You guys are making inroads. We're getting there, but, you know, it's really, really complicated and scary to kind of find that line between what is like, where do we need help in stabilization, you know, and how do we get that help, and how far can we go with it? I mean, it's still just, it'll take lifetimes to maybe chart this, but yeah, it's my favorite topic. Yeah.
I mean, because our society has deleted this from what is normal with people, and we know it's normal. You hear in every ancient text of the people that could receive information and pass it on, healers and the sibyls, and on and on and on and on. And then there came a point in history in which this became demonized or mental illness. And really, that's the problem. We know there are people who are schizophrenic and who have hallucinations, that it becomes very, very unresourceful in their life, right? And then there are people who can receive information, see things in a light spectrum that other people can't see. And it's the fear of the family around them that makes it a wrongness. So your case, was there something that the family was worried about that made it unresourceful in your life? Was it just the lack of human friends?
I think it was all of it. It was, you know, it brings me back to a memory or an experience where I was a little girl, and I was, this was quite a catalyst into this whole experience with people going, what is wrong with you? You know, I was in my bedroom. I was like 5 or 6 years old, and I was reading, and a spirit actually came into the room and was mouthing something and screaming. I couldn't hear her audibly, but she kept projecting this image of fire. And it was scary, right? Like if somebody came into your room screaming fire, that was, you didn't know, we'd be like, what is happening? But she eventually, the spirit related this message, and I put my hand on the wall, and it was really, really hot. And I went, I was scared, and I ran into my mom's room where she was taking a nap, and I tried to wake her up and tell her about the wall being hot. And it was, you know, finally getting her to come and check it out. And what had happened is the wall heater, the other side was a bathroom, had this old style inlaid wall heater, had short circuited, caused a fire. So the house was getting ready to go up. She called the fire department, and we were able to get out. And you know, I remember being little and hearing these firemen say, thank goodness you caught this, you know, and just me and my mother knowing what happened, you know. And I'm like, well, you know, the spirit told me. So, you know, there were all these kind of strange oddities or dreams, or, you know, having these kind of predictions, or, you know, begging to go feed the homeless and crying when I would feel people's pain. So I don't think it was just from my mother, parents' point of view, just, oh my gosh, I think this is a mental illness. I think it was just a lack of knowing what to do about it, and being so much societal pressure that if you have a kid in need, you have to take the next right step. If they're sick, they go to the doctor. If there's mental austerities, then you got to go talk to the doctors of the mind. So I think in her, and from her perspective, she was just trying anything to help. And I do believe it was part of my destiny to walk through all of what this could look like. I also want to mention something. I think, I believe, when people have this gift, I think we all have intuition, right? That's just a fact. That's a part of our organic human makeup. But there are certain people, I feel like, who are destined to bring forward healing modalities, such as yourself, to kind of put two things together that maybe haven't been pre-thought, that are outside of the box. And to hold that torch or to be a vessel for that kind of information, you're almost kind of like tested. Your heart is really put through like this obstacle course. Your ego is really tamped down so that you can actually, these small human parameters of understanding what is possible, it kind of breaks down and opens. So I think, a lot of these healers or, people who are, using these intuitive gifts or these, furthering the practices of mental health, we are put on this path of obstacles. But I think also it's just to get us to a place where we can be deep and expansive in our own right to continue to hold the information and the energy and technology that it requires to bring to the world. Yeah.
Yeah, all very true. All right. Let's take our very first break. We'll hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
We are back and we're having an amazing conversation with Bonnie McCliss, really about the psychic phenomenon and a person who is born this way and misunderstood. So it's interesting. I went a different route than you because I was that child as well. But early on, about 4 years old, I felt my mother said to me, "Don't say that. That's ridiculous." I don't remember what I was saying, but it hurt me deeply, and I could feel her fear, right? So I knew, okay, we don't talk about that anymore. And then my parents became part of a high demand religion in which there is no afterlife. So any of that would have been deemed demonic, that kind of thing. So where it manifested is people would ask me questions that I had no business knowing. And then I would know the answer. So as a young kid, people would seek my advice, which I thought was really weird, but I knew the answer. So when I was much older and starting to, unburden myself from beliefs that weren't mine, and, you know, moving back into the human I came to the planet to be, like you said, coming to make a very specific change on the planet, the navigation of what's available, information, advice, for me, I found that much of it smacked again of religion, which I had had to completely, you know, take off. And I wasn't eager to get back in. So do you have advice for people who are reclaiming this part of themselves to avoid getting caught up in a trap that would be something more like another religion? Skewed beliefs is what I'm thinking about, you know, that are very restrictive around these ideas of channeling, being psychic, you know, being a medium or being a natural born healer.
Right. Yeah. I love this question, this point of dialogue around this, because the gift of being psychic or having this capacity to be a conduit for energy, for healing for others is natural. That's the natural part. Mm-hmm. I do believe we all have this. I think that, you know, we can be cultivated clearly to different ways and different walks of life, like you so beautifully put. So that's the organic, easy part. The part that distorts this or makes it really complicated is obviously it's our fear. Our fear of being bad, or fear of losing ourselves, or being led astray from what is good. So, you know, with the advice is when you're starting it, really wanting to hone your intuition or these gifts, the first thing is to do practices that would bring you into healing or reconciling or neutralizing fear and judgment, or any kind of separation, you know, like me versus them. Like it's this kind of energy needs this holistic approach. It needs all of you. It needs your heart. It needs your open mind. It needs your agility to flow with this kind of deep organic infrastructure that we all possess. So, you know, for me, what worked the best after trying a lot of banging my head against walls, after saying, hey, you got to figure this psychic thing out, I read all the books, I did the meditations with metaphysics, but at the end, just following the philosophies offered through certain religions, or particularly Buddhism as a philosophy, but not a religion, in compassion practices, in heart coherence practices, in stilling the mind and focusing on the rhythm of body and breath. When I kind of finally allowed myself to settle into that very anticlimactic measure of approaching this really, really fun stuff, you know, when I just kind of surrendered and let it go and became still and mindful and in heart center, it's like that's when everything started working out. It's just, it was like a natural flow that just kind of, you know, pulled me through the eye of the needle. So I think it's just to surmise all that, I think we can work way too hard drawing up something that's very innate and natural. It's really about, if this gift is the diamond, our pain and our, you know, life experience is like the 7 miles of mud on top of it. And life is only about shoveling the mud off and doing the healing work so that this organic nature can kind of rise and break through. Yeah.
I love that you said that, the quiet of it. That is the 100% truth, is that it just is who you really are. And that's what our work does. It really helps people, you know, it's almost like taking off other people's clothes, you know, like you've got a whole goodwill full of other people's clothes and their ideas and opinions, and you're just taking them off to reveal who you really are. And that's the truth of it. When a lot of people that I know and have worked with, when they're really unveiling themselves, you know, showing their true nature, with some, you know, psychic gifts or healing gifts or different things like that, there's this excitement, a fight or flight, almost like scaredness. And you hear it and you see it in their face and they're trying to emerge. when what it really is this relaxing into the truth of who you are. And so those were my rules going into this, in just learning a little bit more and claiming myself, that it just had to be something that sparked the next new idea. And then it was okay. I didn't care if it was true or not true, real or not real. What I cared about it is, did it show me something that I needed to learn for myself next in the effort to become who I truly am? Mm-hmm. Not a label, not a, you know, some kind of icon, you know, that we put out there about what this is, just who I am. And so that's what we really encourage people to do. And Bill and I now teach people how to unleash some of these gifts through their nervous system, knowing that the nervous system will clamp down anything it perceives to be fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And so once people relax into those things, their ability to sense, smell, taste, touch, hear comes back just perfectly naturally. Mm-hmm. It's like it's been there all along, which it has been. Now the system isn't stopping the brain from interpreting that information. Mm-hmm. So there's this super beautiful unfolding. So what happened next for you? This lovely counselor tells you, I think you're psychic. So did you immediately embrace that? Or did you start searching? Did you find help? What did you do next?
Yeah, I went to the library immediately. And I checked out all 10 books that they had on the subject of that, you know. And I read about it. And from there, I immediately had imposter syndrome. I'm like, this is great. This is not me. These are special people who have these gifts. And yeah. Now I was starting to worry about her sanity, the woman I was working with. Like, you have this incorrect. And so I went through a period of, I think we all do, this really hard, it's hard to trust in yourself with this stuff. I mean, you want to maintain humility and power at the same time through developing intuition, and it's hard. And so I went through this kind of, this isn't me. And she, so intuitively herself, obviously, decided to put me through some interesting diagnostics. And I remember one of the most powerful things that was a turning point in my life was when she said, close your eyes, and I want you to tell me what my house looks like. Which was very, very bold on her end. We got to remember, this is a woman working in the system. These are really outside of the parameters of mental health, as you know. And so I really think she's the hero in this story. But she had me just kind of close my eyes and take a look at her house. And I just remember thinking, this is terrifying. Like, now I'm really scared. And out of my terror, I just said anything to try to get her to leave me alone so I could go. And I just, you know, started spitting things off about her house, you know, fully expecting it to be wrong. And she just kept saying, yep, that's exactly what it looks like. And so it was kind of empowered through this validation that she was giving me, going, oh gosh, yeah, this is, maybe I am onto something. And so it was through a couple of her exploratory meditative experiences that we would do together where I started to really think that I could do this. And then the last thing that really put the last point of emphasis where I just leaped is she gave me the opportunity to work kind of out of the back room in this little clinic, and said, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything about my people, but if they want to go see you, they can go see you. And this is, yeah, oh. This was many, many years ago. So they would come to the back door, you know, where nobody could see them, to see the psychic. And, you know, I lived in a Bible belt. So it was a really, you know, I was told not to do this, that it is, they actually ran the last psychic out of town because it literally was written on the city notes that, you know, no practicing witchcraft in city limits. And I was so confused. I was like, what does that have to do with this? So I just, you know, with the power of open heart and will, I just took her invitation because I was so excited. She somebody believed in me in that way. And yeah, she started really funneling people to me, and it was working, and it was helping them in their mental health.
Wow.
And so it was like this Batman Robin thing that started going on. And eventually she said, you got to fly. And I flew and got my own practice going. And so that's really, it just was a series of beautiful people and rising beyond the fear and trusting myself as I could. Yeah.
That's it. That is incredible. Well, yeah. I know there's so much more to this story, because you end up publishing a book, you end up going on Gaia. I don't know how many times you've been on there now, but
yeah.
How many times have you been back?
Thank God for Gaia. Oh, on Gaia. Ooh. Oh gosh. I'm starting to lose count, which is really exciting. I think like five times, maybe six. I did a conference a couple years back. I really appreciate Gaia's, man. I mean, finally, there was no Gaia back when I was trying to solve this mystery. There was barely any books you could get your hands on. And so I'm really here on a mission to help people, as you are, to see their human capacity and to know that there's no separation here. It's just the organics of being human, and some faith and some work in stillness, of course. But you know, it's really exciting to be alive now when there's nothing but open space to grow any way we want to. Yeah.
It's really, really true. So we're up against our next break. We will hear again from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. And guys, this is our last announcement for the Pierce the Veil series that starts in with Cogna Movement on the 30th. And we will be using our particular brand of opening the nervous system to be able to sense things that are there all the time. You're just not necessarily processing them on October the 30th. So if you want to join that, please come to cognomovement.com/Pierce the Veil. All right, let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back. We're talking with Bonnie McLiss. And if you have a Gaia subscription, absolutely go on Gaia, take a look, and you can see her there. For that matter, go take a look and you can see us there too. We've been there many, many times. And you're right, Bonnie, like Gaia has been a huge platform for so many of us to get great information out that before it was actually Hay House. And Hay House Radio was amazing. And I think even before that, probably Coast to Coast AM
you
know, was the thing. It was that late night radio that I remember hearing, you know, so many years in my early teens and 20s, you know, driving back from somewhere late at night. And that here they are talking about Sasquatch and psychics and UFOs. And for me, that really sparked a lot. Like, oh, there's a whole world of people out there that are like me, right? So this last year, the year before, I don't remember, Bill and I had the opportunity to be on Coast to Coast twice. And it was like that full circle moment. I'm like, maybe we're that voice. Mm-hmm. That someone out there in the middle of the night hears and is like, oh, I can do that. That's for me. It's so important for us to be able to get that information out. So, yeah. So you said that you have a mission about global awareness. Would you tell our audience, what is that about? What do you mean by that global awareness?
Yeah, it's a really big mission that I'm so grateful I'm not doing by myself. So the mission really being kind of like what we're talking about is getting back to what it means to be in touch with the human potential. What does it mean to be an organic, soul inside of a body? What are our options? You know, can we live in harmony with the world around us? Can we live by these high laws of nature that suggest that, you know, our resonance affects our health and the people that we're around? You know, can we re-educate ourselves to be a part of this interconnected web of nature? And it is going to be a little bit of a re-education. And I think that's where I enjoy being, you know, on this team of ideas on meditative awarenesses or speaking about different philosophies. A lot of these philosophies are, you know, present and active all around the world in different spiritual sectors. You know, I mean, this is an ancient understanding and information that we're kind of resurrecting. I know, I think like Bill, you know, some of my beginnings, and I didn't realize how it was all going to come together. My mother put me in one of her attempts to help normalize. I was also put into martial arts, which, I went really far with. And that really helped me know that you have to have that kind of real incredible precision, stillness, and focus. So again, kind of learning what's in us, but relearning it maybe for the first time. So it sounds complicated in just living conscious and aware and in our heart space, in this heart coherent state for sure. And listening to others, I feel like one of the biggest things, and maybe you can relate, Liz, is that it is a little isolating when you start to open up and become aware of these things that are outside of the box, or you're having dreams or intuitions or premonitions, and you are in that family or that community that's like, what happened to you? You were fine a month ago. We were all good. You were you, and now you're not you. And so I feel like these communities that you're helping bring forward are actually probably the most vital and important piece of where we're all going, so that we can listen to one another and share in this kind of incredible safe space to what is possible together. I think that's super important right now, for sure.
So how are you doing that? You know, that's you're elevating people's consciousness so how is that working? How are you helping? You're obviously helping people one at a time, you know, with having a session with them, and just like you, what brought us together. Is that the main thrust of the work, is like get in there and you're gonna help one soul and evolve at a time?
I mean, my gosh, I think what a great point. I feel I've dug so deep in the potential of energy and our interconnectivity as a human race, that I fully personally believe that it's all connected. So even when I am in deep meditation, sending out love and kindness, I am affecting through these kind of radionics of intention, I'm affecting the world around me. I just, I mean, so, I mean, if I just sit in my, if I just just meditate on. You know, the Dalai Lama, I've been following him and appreciating his teachings for me for a long time. And I went to go see him when I was about 20. And it was a fascinating turning point in my life. But, you know, he said, if you want to change the world, start with your neighbor and your own living room and your community. And so I really fully believe in those words, you know, starting with these little nucleuses and these podcasts and these communities. And I do, you know, I enjoy working with people one-on-one so much because, you know, they get that, they get what they deserve, deep insight and listening to the miracle of life that they are. And, you know, hopefully, I love working with the Gaia family. Hopefully more will come of that. But at the end, I'm just following the bouncing ball of light, just like everybody else, you know, listening to the call of where I can be of service. And sometimes it takes you in really, really interesting places. Last year, I was training dancers in Japan, most of the, you know, off and on in the year, teaching them, you know, high level trained dancers, you know, how to feel energy in their bodies and how to interact with their intuitive field. And that was fun, you know, and that's not anything that I would have seen in this linear practice of healing the world. So it just, you wait for the call and the call always comes, in my opinion.
That is amazing. Well, I just want to validate you. You know, the thing is, like the Dalai Lama said, you know, the way I always see it is concentric circles.
Yes.
The healing that needs to take place is that person who's very, very close to you in physical proximity. It's the one living in your house. Yes. It's the one who's your neighbor. He's the one that's related to you. The astronomical odds for you to come into being, to be, take a body and be in a lifetime with that person in close proximity, but of course they're here to help with our growth. So often we all think about, you know, when I was growing up, it was like, eat all your food. It's the starving kids in India. And you, damn it. You leaving that there is, you know, we got to help out the people over and, you know, far away, but really a little bit of kindness here, the person is physically sitting next to you. So I love what you're doing. And I love that you're getting phone calls from across the globe in Japan and dancing. How could this be? You know,
those circles just keep on rippling far and wide, don't they? Centrifugal circles. I love it. Yeah.
That's so cool. That is so cool.
Well, Bonnie, you said that you had a tip for our audience about deep listening.
Yes. It's something that is so simple that I think that we kind of overlook, like listening, the power of listening. You know, we have our listening preferences, right? You have the music that you like. You have these nuanced sounds that you hear when you walk in your house, but listening actually from an intuitive opening perspective, listening can open up and amplify all of those unique receiving patterns in the brain and in the energy in the body. It's like the one button that ignites everything in your system. Listening is so incredibly powerful. And when you're listening to a sound, you know, just sitting, you know, I tell people, try a very organic house sound. Go sit by your refrigerator and listen to the motor churning. You know, all sound has this pattern and oscillation to it. And really, really just, it doesn't have to be, you know, a certain model. Really listen to it. Can you experience or hear the high points of something, or, you know, white noise? Can you hear a pattern? Can you hear the low points? I would say almost straining, but really digging into the deep side of listening to anything. It can be a bird, anything. You go into the heart of it. And when you choose to do something like that, you're pairing with the potential to interact with our first language, our mother tongue, and that is vibration. Sound is so close to the patterns of vibration. It's life, it's genesis. And so if you listen to something really deeply and pick up its pattern, you can the next almost take the sound into your body, right? And it takes a little practice. I mean, you know, first it's like, what am I doing? But you can really uniquely take the sound into your body and listen and feel it simultaneously and feel how your body is interacting with the sound. You think, what does that give me? It starts to reprogram your brain. It starts to create new neural pathways in how you show up in life, how you are sensitive and open to a sea of vibrations. And this vibration is this living field around it. We call it in metaphysics the Akashic state of consciousness. It's all of this information is born first from this vibratory state. So if you, you know, work on this deep, you know, deep dive into listening, and you couple that with being really still and present, you might be surprised. Some, you know, epiphanies that begin to develop later on in the week, or some dreams that become a little bit more targeted and potent. So it's, again, it's not having expectation. It's kind of like creating the perfect fertilizer for these seeds to thrive and to be remembered once again. So yeah, just taking listening a whole step further and then really feeling it as a vibration physically is one of the most powerful things somebody can do to open up all of those intuitive energy channels.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing, amazing practice and advice, because in this world, we have so many distractions. We have information and energy coming from 1,000 different places at once, including satellites, are sending information that our bodies do receive and pick up. You know, we've got cell phones, we've got radio, we've got computers, we've got every kind of a thing. And so our systems get overloaded and start to block everything out.
Right.
We don't become more, we kind of become less, because there's so much information that the system just shuts down and just lets in a little bit. So the stopping and reopening one of our senses, letting it actually in. And I love your advice about the refrigerator, because it's so benign, right? It's just a refrigerator.
Yeah.
And it's background noise that you don't pay attention to. So listening to what's actually there. Bill and I are talking often about how we really can see into 1% of the light spectrum. 1%. Mm-hmm. If you could see the other 99%, or 5% more, you'd probably be shocked at what's standing right next to you. Then you have layer on sound. What are the sounds that we are just not capable of hearing that are literally all around us? So for everybody listening, try that out. It really will open a sense that will allow your whole system to let in just a bit more. Just a bit more. That's amazing. Well, we have come to the end of this session. This segment and this session. And it has been so wonderful getting to hear your story. And we would love for everybody to get a chance to reach out to you. And your website is psychicbonnie.com, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This has been super fun getting to meet you. And thank you for the work that you do. I see it like these circles are all starting to interconnect and become stronger and supportive. And these lines of division from one world to the next, mental health, intuition, like they're starting to really find its unique relationship and partnership and opportunity. So thank you for being so open-minded and supporting this work as well. I'm super grateful.
Oh, awesome.
I just want to tell everybody, Bonnie is the real deal, and that's why this episode happened. She is the real deal. Book a session with her. I understand there's a long waiting list, so you're going to have to get in line and take a ticket, but it'll be well worth your time and money.
Well, awesome. And I want to give a last shout out to Caitlin Proctor, the person who introduced us to Bonnie and told us the story. Since Caitlin has come online with us and become a certified PRAC, she is doing the most amazing things and solving the most amazing problems. So if anybody out there wants to work with Caitlin, come to cognomovement.com, go to find a practitioner, and book a session with her because she is incredible as well. Well, thank you so much for being here, Bonnie. We really appreciate it. Thanks for being here, Bill McKenna.
Thank you.
And in UK Health Radio land, until next time, be safe and be well.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.